Welcome to the Strongpreneur Nation podcast. My name is Tom Reber, and today I'm excited to have my guest on with me from sunny Florida, Mr. Ted Rice. How you doing, Ted?
I'm doing great, Tom. Really happy to be here and excited, man.
Cool. I've been pretty jazzed since I've been following you the last couple months, just seeing things you're doing online. And I'm excited to talk with you because I think you really embody what a strongpreneur is, and that's why I wanted to have you on. And so before we dig in, I was wondering if you'd be able to just tell us a little bit about you, who you are, and what you do, and then we'll get going.
Yeah, and my answer to this has changed over time, but I'll tell you, I've been a fitness professional for the past 17 years in Miami Beach, Florida. I've worked with celebrities like Robert Downey Jr., Richard Branson, and Ricky Martin. Most of my clients now are CEOs of multi-million dollar companies. As far as in the fitness industry, I've learned from a lot of the leaders out there. Most of the time from in person, I've spent a lot of many, probably hundreds of hours and thousands of dollars learning from some of the best people out there. And I've created a good personal training business for myself. And that sounds wonderful. And maybe some people think I'm bragging, but the other side of that is I'm a person who struggled a lot in their life. I've had to overcome some really terrible family tragedies, including the loss of many of my immediate family. And I don't know if you want me to talk too much about that, but some really heavy duty things. And I've been a person who had to pull himself out of despair, ended up dropping out of college, didn't know what to do with my life. And fitness was for me like the thing that allowed me to heal myself and to give back to the world, to mature as a person, to start to value my health. And it gave me an avenue to also make money because, after going through that one tragedy in particular where my brother was kidnapped and murdered, and it became big national news, and ended up my parents changed two laws, and you know they were on Oprah, and that happened when I was 19 years old, and I'm 38 now, so about 20 years or so ago. And it gave me the opportunity to do something, to make money, to have a business that I felt passionate about, because I'm completely unemployable, Tom. I'm a person who comes from the heart. I'm all about the passion, and what makes me feel great is connecting with people like we're connecting right now. I love to help people, but I also want a good lifestyle as well. I believe I deserve it with how many people I've helped and my bigger plans for helping more people. So that's kind of a brief overview of where I'm at and how I got here.
Well, I appreciate you sharing that. And you kind of jumped right into one of the things I was going to ask you about later with some of the tough knocks that you've had in your life with those losses. Would you mind just sharing a little more of what some of those were?
Yeah. I had a really hard time growing up. My mother was psychiatrically ill to the point where she had to be medicated. And she was abusive physically, emotionally. My dad had to leave. So when I was 4 years old, he divorced her. And, that just started me down a really bad road. I was already a weird kid because of that. I was withdrawn. I didn't make friends easily. I was a bit awkward, and things did not get better. I ended up losing her when I was 14, right as I was going into high school, and I did terribly in school. I got arrested. I got into drugs. I was put in a special program called severely emotionally disturbed in high school. And that's the only way I made it through high school. If I had to go through what you and everyone else, probably or most of the people listening to this podcast, had to do in high school, I wouldn't have made it. They tried putting me back into a class, and my math teacher got really mad at me because I did my math in pen. instead of pencil because that was a requirement. So she gave me an F on the paper. I told her something really not nice involving some cuss words. And then I walked out of the class and I just remember, you know, it was just kind of like that for me. And I'm not saying that to show off because I was just angry and had a really hard time. And then as I started, I've made it through high school. And as I got into college, I loved how my professors were, how I was able to choose my own schedule, how mm-hmm. I had more control and it was much more interesting, some of the classes. And I started pulling my life together. I started for the first time in my life getting good grades. And then my brother disappeared. He, when I was 19 years old, maybe my second year in college.
How old was he?
He was 9 years old.
Oh God.
And it turned out to be a really hellish story where he was kidnapped by a pedophile. He was raped and he ended up murdering my brother because he was afraid of, being caught. And it even made, there's a I think it's FBI true crime story, Do You Want to Die? And they made an episode about his story. And, I don't know if it would serve your listeners to hear all the details, but you know, it was a crazy time, involved the media at first. I was a suspect because of, some reasons, and I had to take multiple lie detector tests as some of the other people in my family did, because as soon as something like that happens, they always look to the family and, right. But thank God they found the guy. They caught him and, is real psychopath and finally off the street. And he actually was put to death a couple years ago. Kind of a strange story to tell on an entrepreneurship podcast, but what I want people to take away from that is that no matter what you're going through, whether you lose a loved one, like a parent to illness, or maybe you've been through a bad divorce or whatever it is, I've been that low and I am not a genetically gifted or particularly talented person. I've had to work very hard to get good at everything that I've ever been good at. And you can get through anything. And that's really my message in that way, in the personal development ways, you can bounce back from anything and create a life for yourself that is purposeful and full of joy and have a good time, man. Life is short. Yeah.
Well, first of all, I'm sorry for the tragedies you've had with your mom and your brother. And I can't imagine having to deal with that, but then it sounds like that was at age 19 and then things kind of evened out, at least on that front, for a few years until just a couple years ago you had another thing, right?
Yeah, my sister committed suicide a few years ago, and partly due to the mental illness, partly due to the fact that she was just under so much stress. I mean, if you hear my story and if you go Google it and read about Jimmy Rice at RYCE, you'll see why it's very difficult to live with that. And she did not live to the point where she was able to see that guy executed. And my dad and I did. And believe it or not, it did provide, like, I don't like the word closure, but it did feel like justice was served.
Sure.
And as hard as that might be to hear for someone who is against the death penalty or anything like that, but I'll tell you, you just don't know how you're going to feel in a situation till something like that happens to you. And, and I didn't know how I'd feel afterward, but it gave me some sense of justice and it actually inspired me to do more with my life and, to serve more people, to help more people.
So that, hearing your story, when I first read it and really thought about it, there's a few things I wanted to ask you. And I think the first is, what did you, through all this tragedy, what did you learn about yourself?
Oh, wow. At first I felt like my life was over at 19. And, when that happened, and, as you mentioned, there's been several ups and downs in losing my sister. I also lost my stepmother, which was a much more complicated relationship. And, you know, I don't want to go into it too much, but I don't count it as one of the big three tragedies that I've been through. But because it was very complicated, I'll leave it at that.
All right.
But I learned that we all have more power than what we think. There's always a way to push through to the other side. I'll also say that human beings just in general are incredibly strong, and that, you know, we're pretty much designed with everything we need to get past whatever we may have to go through in our lives, however tragic. And I have a tough story, no doubt, but there's other people that have even tougher stories. Mm-hmm. I mean, Viktor Frankl had to go through the Jewish Holocaust with the Nazis.
All right, I have to stop you. The second you said his name, I glanced at my bookshelf and saw A Man's Search for Meaning on my bookshelf. I just saw his book sitting there right when you said his name. That's crazy. All right. So, sorry.
Yeah.
That's an ADD moment right there.
No problem. I have the same thing going on. Trust me. Mm-hmm. But yeah, just there's a lot of stories out there. And always, I think the biggest lesson that I learned about myself is that don't get too self-absorbed. Understand that other people are going through the same things. You're not alone. In fact, there's people going through things a lot worse than you, and maybe not even close to being as bad as what you're going through. But at the end of the day, we're all part of this journey on planet Earth, you know, this journey called life. And, you know, there's always a way to turn it around and to take that energy you're left with, that depression, despair, anger, whatever it is, pain, and transmute it into something positive for other people and for yourself.
Hmm. So what, this is a question I know some people struggle with, and myself is one of them. When I'm encountered somebody, you know, a friend or, you know, family member, something that's going through a really tough time, what should people say to somebody when they're going through those things?
That's a good one. I think the best thing to do is just to, well, number one, don't say any of the common things like, hey, don't say anything unless you mean it. Mm-hmm. You know, just be real. And if what your relationship with that person, you're like, listen, if you ever need to call me, I want you to call me. You know, only say what you really feel like you want to back up, right?
Yeah.
Never say, hey, if you need anything, because you don't really mean that, and especially if you don't have a real relationship with a person.
Yeah.
You know, I've had people tell me all types of things, and I know they mean well, and I don't hold it against people, because if you've never been through something that you regard as very tragic, then it's hard to relate to another person, and you want to show support. But I would think the best thing to do, instead of, you know, words are cheap, right? The best thing to do would be to just to call that person, you know, and just keep in contact, and, you know, try to do things for that person instead of maybe saying anything. Or just, if you don't have that type of relationship, just be like, hey man, I'm really sorry for what you went through. And, you know, I want to know that I've felt for you, and that's it.
Awesome. So through all this, you know, let's turn the corner now. How have you been able to pick things up and really do a 180 in a lot of these areas of your life? How have you been able to move forward? What was the tipping point or the aha moment or whatever you want to call it?
Yeah, that's, you know, there really wasn't a tipping point. It was like a start on a path. It was a step, as the Chinese say, you know, I'm totally going to forget the quote, but it's basically the journey of 10,000 miles begins with a single step.
Sure.
And that's what it was. It wasn't like, it wasn't like how some people say it in the personal development realm. Like, hey, listen, if you want to be more confident, just look in the mirror and just tell yourself, hey, I am enough. I am confident. And then you're fine. It doesn't work like that. Mm-hmm. It's slow. It's like building a business. It takes time. It takes consistency. It takes effort. And I would say I'm a big fan of the slight edge, the principle of the slight edge, which means you take whatever step you can, and then you take that consistently and you start to build on that. You start to build on the small habits, and pretty soon it starts to snowball into something where I feel like I'm unstoppable right now with the direction I'm going in. But it wasn't like that when I, with the quote unquote tipping point, it was small steps. And part of those small steps were, you know, being around a supportive environment, people who support me instead of people who felt sorry for me. Because I think one of the worst things you can do is feel too sorry for a person. So I'll tell you, Tom, if people, let's say I wouldn't do anything with my life, and people are like, well, you know, Ted, you really should do something. You have all this potential. And then I say, you know what? I'm just too broken inside. I'm too depressed from what happened to me. They would give me a pass, man. Yeah. They would give me a pass. They would think about, man, that guy's been through a lot. Yeah. I probably wouldn't go either, you know? Mm-hmm. And that is not what you want to do. You want to be around people who push you and say, listen, I know you've been through something, but you can make something out of this. You can make a difference in your life, in your family's life, in other people's lives, if that's where your passions lie. But, you know, that would be number one. Number two is what you fill your head with. I listen to inspiring interviews. I read inspiring books. I learn new things. I'm not listening to the news. Mm-hmm. I'm not interested in the school shooting or the police brutality or any of those other things that are statistically not as likely to happen as a car crash or heart disease or, you know, some of the things we should be worried about in life. And people get their heads hijacked because of media, because of the wiring of the human brain with the what's called the negativity bias. And, you know, that's another thing. And also finding something that you're passionate about doing. I love helping people. I believe that health and fitness is the foundation of success for every other area of your life. So that's something that everyone needs to do. And if I can, but not as many people who need to be doing it are doing it. So if I can make a difference there and show people how to get in shape without, you know, becoming like a hardcore fitness head or a meathead, then I'm passionate about that. So, you know, having a passion and something that lights you up inside is key. And you want to have more of those moments because, I'll tell you, I was about, like I told you before we hopped on today, we're working on a product launch. We're launching this product. We're doing this online coaching, and Giselle doesn't want me to do any interviews at all. But I found that if I don't do these, if I don't connect with people like you, Tom, and the other great people who have interviewed me and who I've interviewed, I lose that drive. I lose what I'm doing this for. I love to connect and to help people and to connect with great people. So you got to have that something that gives you passion, and always challenge yourself as well. Man, I could keep going. I'm all hyped up right now.
It's all good, man. Oh, I'm glad. And thank you, Giselle, for allowing Ted to come on today. So I want to make sure that's very clear. So you've been a trainer for 17 years plus, whatever it's been now, worked with celebrities, a lot of top CEOs. What kind of habits or mindsets jump out at you that you see as a common thread between these top performers?
Absolutely. And I'll start with the obvious one, or at least the, you know, is that people who are successful are more likely to take care of themselves. They're more likely to exercise. They're more likely to spend time and money on it. Whereas the average person, what's the biggest excuse? Oh, I don't have time to do that.
Yeah,
I don't have time to exercise, or I can't afford it. These people, you know, make sure that they do it. And by the way, just to preface this, when I, you know, I know there's a lot of classism in the United States. The people who I train, they're like people who add a lot of value to this society, to the world even. They're not the evil corporations who are, you know, looking to rape the planet and to profit in any way possible, even if other people go hungry. I don't train any of those people. I train really cool people who, you know, are involved in software, commercial real estate, or I train one guy, he's the CEO of a hedge fund that invests in art. And, you know, he's an expert at what he does, and he came and he built his business from nothing. In fact, most of the people who I train built their businesses from nothing. And so another lesson is that they don't stop when they hit an obstacle. They don't stop just because things get hard. In fact, one story that a client of mine told me is like, listen, when I was building my business, now he has a car collection, and which I'll get to in a second, because a lot of people misunderstand what a car collection may actually do for someone. But, you know, he was like, listen, before I had all this, I lived in a crappy apartment and we could barely make payroll. I was on the phone Friday making calls to make some last minute sales just so we could pay our employees. Mm-hmm. And he did that weeks after weeks through a very hard time in his business. And he's like, man, I don't even know how it happened. I don't even know how we got through it. So that's another thing. Another thing, like I just mentioned, another aspect, another lesson is they think about value differently. They think about money differently. They know how to use it. I just mentioned the car collection. Now, somebody might look at that and be like, why do you need all these cars? Like, what are you trying to compensate for? You know, mm-hmm. What void are you trying to fill in your life? Now, I used to think like that too, until I started training these people and more specifically started asking them questions. And he's like, he told me this particular client, he's like, listen, this is an investment. People are investing in the stock market. They have no idea what they're doing and they lose money or hopefully make some money, or with real estate. And we all know how that turned out not too long ago. A lot of people lost money. He's invested in these specific cars, old Mercedes, Ferraris, and he's actually doubled his investment, tripled his investment. So the third lesson is, instead of like being so caught up in the emotional attachment to material things, they look at cars or stock market, whatever. They look at investments. They look at the value that they're investing in, and is it appreciating? Is it a loss in value? And most of the time, you know, he's got a car collection with all these brand new Ferraris and some older Ferraris that are in mint condition, but he also has a 10-year-old Mercedes. Mm. You know, and a 10-year-old Lexus that the handyman uses, a Lexus SUV. So they spend money on things that appreciate, or they understand that, you know, oh, this is a gift to myself, and that's okay. But most people, the middle class, or, you know, the average people, and I include myself in this, by the way, I mean, we spend money on things that don't give us value in return. And, right. And by value, I mean value to our businesses that help appreciate our net worth and things like that. So that's another powerful lesson.
Man, there's so much good stuff there. Holy cow. My mind's going all over because I want to go in a bunch of different directions, which is really common for me. But so earlier you mentioned that you've trained Richard Branson.
Yes.
Just kind of out of curiosity, was there anything that surprised you about hanging out with him?
I had been training. A really interesting story is how I got the relationship. It was years in the making, right? I had one client who I'd been training for a while, then I ended up meeting his cousin, and then I ended up meeting his wife, and then I finally ended up meeting him. So by that time, not really. I mean, he came across, Richard is not a very, he's not into conspicuous consumption. I mean, I won't talk about where they live here, but it's not like, you wouldn't be impressed. I shouldn't even go into too much detail, but it's not super extravagant. They're not looking for the attention. And, you know, I remember hearing a story from a person I know here who was talking about Richard, who was at a restaurant one night. He's like, man, the guy was just so normal. He went and caught a cab outside. There was no driver with a Rolls Royce, you know, Phantom that came and picked him up, and bodyguards. There was nothing like that. He caught a cab to go home just like a normal person. Cool. That was before Uber took over.
Yeah, that's true. That's before Uber. He's always been the type of guy that's just kind of interested to learn more about him and things like that. So
I want to share one thing, if you don't mind. Uh-huh. He lives on an island, Necker Island.
Okay.
For a lot of people are like, wow, he's got his own island. But I know the people who live there and stay there, his cousin, and it's away from the world. It's not like a cosmopolitan city on this private island with all these amenities. It's very simple, and it's that way on purpose. So that would be another thing that struck me about him and the island. And, you know, it's not like living in some, you know, like a private city for yourself. It's actually quite, I don't want to say quaint, but it's definitely on the minimalist side.
Yeah. So recently you posted something on Facebook that just jumped out at me. And do you remember what I'm talking about? Were you?
Sure.
Okay. So I don't want to say anything that I'd rather you say it than me is where I'm going. Tell us about that post, if you know the one I'm talking about.
Yeah. And it's basically, so even though I've had some success locally here and I've trained all these great clients and love my clients and everyone who I've been able to meet, my reach wasn't that big. And that's why I started my podcast, Legendary Life. And I wanted to reach more people. I was like, burning inside, like how to reach more people, right? Because I'm at the point where I really want to impact a lot of people's lives in a positive way. And so I started my podcast, and I stumbled and I bumbled, and I've had several different names to the show before I settled on Legendary Life. And when I first started, I said people didn't care. And, you know, a few people did. A few people listened to the show and thought it was probably interesting, like, oh, it's something new. And so I continued to work to share my message, to improve things, and people continued not to care. And finally, this past year, it's been a bit of a breakout year. People are finally like, okay, this guy isn't going away and he's making things better. He's putting a lot of effort. Of course, Giselle is a huge part of that. If you see any of the stuff, any of our website or any of our graphics or anything other than, you know, just me talking, she's been an instrumental part in getting that out there. But we have continued to push through, and now I've got an invitation to do a keynote speech. I'm going to be speaking at an event. The keynote speech is in April. We're negotiating to make that happen. I'll be speaking at an event in March that I'm really excited. And now I'm going to be putting on a seminar with some guys down here, some fitness guys down here for fitness professionals to help them improve their business. And I've got so many people who want to interview me. I'm getting better and better guests on my show, and you know, just people are paying attention now. And it's because I didn't give up. It's because I didn't put out an episode and I got, you know, 20 downloads and I started, you know, oh, this isn't going to work.
Yeah. You know, that's why it jumped out at me, because you know, you've been a guy that's just, you know, I picture a big boulder in your front yard, you know, just this big boulder. And every day you walk outside with a sledgehammer and you hit it, and you don't see anything the first day and you don't see anything the 100th day, you know, but maybe after the thousandth day, you know, the thing starts to crack. And that's what image came to mind when I read your Facebook post, just about how you've been hitting that rock over and over and over. And so I wanted people to hear that. I wanted to hear where you've come from, and that, you know, you really got to have that, that willingness to just continue to pay your dues and believe in what you're doing. And how many times did you change the name of your podcast, you said?
It's been one, two, three, and this is the fourth name.
Yeah, so you knew what you wanted to do, but you instead of quitting and giving up, you made adjustments.
Absolutely.
You know, and because I think it sounds like you have a pretty strong why behind what you're doing.
That is what keeps me going when everything is going wrong. Mm-hmm. And the editor that we've been using disappeared because of whatever. We hire these people from the Philippines, from Thailand, from Jamaica, and sometimes they're not super, they don't have the same sort of standard of work ethic that we may have. And it allows us to do more with our money. But at the same time, you know, they flake out and you're like, oh gosh. And then I've got five interviews that I have to get out and people are asking me, hey man, when's my interview coming out? But you just keep, you keep going, you take your punches and then you continue to get better. You continue to find solutions. And if you have that, like what you said, the why, I've got a very strong why. And the second thing I would say is I will solve whatever problem comes up. Either I'll find a way through it. I'll find a way around it. I will deal with it in a way that it doesn't stop me. And if you do those two things and you continue to strive to get better and you're going to be successful. It's just a matter of when and how much, not if.
Yeah. All right. So Ted, 17 years ago, you started in business, younger guy, 17 years younger than you are now, obviously. What would that guy be most proud of as he looks at who you are now and who you've become and what you've done?
Two things: for not giving up and for striving to continue to get better, even when whatever area that was difficult. Hmm.
Yeah. I mean, you've been through some stuff, man. That's crazy, but it'd been really easy to throw the towel in and settle.
To be honest, that's part of it, Tom. But I'll tell you a thing that might surprise someone listening right now is I had really bad social anxiety and I was a terrible speaker. And and some of you may know this, some of you may not, if you haven't heard of me before, but I've, competed in Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu. I really wanted to do MMA. I got a brown belt in Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu under a very well-known black belt. And, I did well in competitions. I ended up stopping, but I did very well. And what I tell people is there was a time in my life where you could throw me in the cage with a professional MMA fighter, and I would have been a lot more comfortable in that situation than getting up on stage and speaking or even doing something like this podcast. And while that may seem like, whoa, I don't know, man, fighting in a cage, that was very true for me. And that was one of the biggest things I had to overcome. And I've taken public speaking courses. I've taken 5 months of improv acting classes, and I've done probably 150 podcast episodes over the past 2 years to get to the point where, and also read some books to get to the point where I can get my message out there in a more clear, concise way.
God, man, you are putting in so much work. It's crazy. So hopefully everyone who's listening to this is hearing the lesson in all this, that you just got to frickin' work your tail off. You just got to keep slamming away, doing what you believe in, doing what you know is right. And really don't let anyone outwork you. I mean, that's what I'm hearing here. So Ted, all right, I got to ask you this. If you were limited to only, I got a couple more questions here and then we'll wrap it up. So if you were limited to only doing one exercise for the rest of your life to stay in shape, what would it be?
A physical exercise? Yeah, it would be, I would have to pick the deadlift.
How come?
It works your upper body. It works your lower body. You build also a skill. I think lifting things is one of the most powerful skills you can have, whether you want to, Greco toss someone or simply carry something heavy. And although I'll be honest, I'm not even doing deadlifts at the moment, but if I had to pick one exercise, it would be a barbell deadlift. Okay. Or, maybe throw in a clean and a press there, but easy, simple, I would go with barbell deadlift.
Good stuff. I love doing deadlifts, man. All right. So you've got 5 minutes before you go on stage to give a talk that is going to save humanity from their troubles.
Wow.
You're going on in 5 minutes. What would your main points be?
My main points? Wow. To save humanity from all trouble, my main points would be that we're all in this together, and that what affects one person affects someone else. And if you care about yourself, you need to care about other people as well. And striving to be excellent in whatever you do, whether you're sweeping the floor or running a country, you always strive for excellence. And that striving for excellence will bring you up to the next level in your life and will allow you to move up. The last thing would be your health matters. I think so many people run around angry, unhappy, just simply because they're not taking care of their bodies. If they exercise at the right frequency and intensity, if they drink good quality water, if they eat nutritious foods and get good quality sleep, you will be surprised about how much better you feel, how your depression, your anger, your road rage, how you're easily irritated will get better. So those would be the three things I would say.
Well, that's good stuff, man. That was quick too. You were quick on the draw with those. You know, I expected you to struggle more, honestly. Most people do. I'd struggle more, I'll tell you that.
So, well, you put me on the spot, man. I got to shoot, you know?
That's good. No, I love it. So on strongpreneurnation.com, I have a pledge, the Strongpreneur pledge that I ask people to take. And I know you've checked it out, and I'm curious, which of those promises on there resonates with you the most?
Very easy for me. Number three, I will be hungry for mentoring. And the reason why is one of my weaknesses that I think has come to be a strength is, Tom, I've sucked at everything I've ever tried to do. When I played sports, I scored on my own team when I played soccer. When I started working out in the gym, I was weak. I didn't get anywhere on my own. When I started doing jiu-jitsu, I got my ass handed to me regularly. But in each case, I started to get a mentor. I had jiu-jitsu instructors and other martial arts instructors who helped me finally become a good athlete. I've learned from people in the fitness industry that helped me get better results. I've learned from people in business. So I am the product of being coachable, right? Of that ability. And if you are not coachable, if you're a person who thinks you know everything and you're a smart person in one area of your life, so that must mean you know everything, I guarantee you, you are not going to be that successful.
Yeah.
So that would be my number one. I would be hungry for mentoring. I love learning from other people. It just brings me up. And, like I said, I think I'm lucky that I've sucked at so many things. So
I think I have a title for the podcast now. Oh, God, this is great. So, you're talking about scoring on your own team in soccer. I'm a high school football coach, and we for many reasons, one of them is a mathematical reason, but we pretty much only do onside kicks. And a couple years ago, we had our kicker kicked an onside kick that actually went backwards.
Whoa.
And so I've never seen that in 16 years of coaching football. So how did you score on your own team? How did that play out?
Oh, I'll tell you, it's actually a great story because the coach was always paying attention to the people who had been doing it for a while and have more skill, did not pay attention to me because I needed more coaching. I was at a beginner level. I wasn't very good at soccer because simply I didn't play. And, you know, so it came back to bite them because I turned around. I don't even remember what the name of the position is, but I wasn't the goalie. I was one of the guys in front of the goalie. So I turned around and kicked it to the goalie, but I was, you know, under too much pressure to kick the right way. And, you know, I hadn't been coached well. So I kicked it. I nailed it right into the goal. And so it came back to bite him. And then, you know what? I quit after that. I only played one. I don't remember if it was a year or a season or whatever. I quit after that. And you were talking about the onsides kicks. I never really played any other sport, never felt a connection to sports until I hit martial arts. And I got some leaders, some people who had honor and, you know, nothing against any of the school coaches, the sports coaches, but I didn't come up. I wasn't around any of those people. It was the martial arts guys who saw me, saw the potential, and really took me into a place where I was able to. I've competed at a very high level in jiu-jitsu, and I've done very well. I've let's just say I've won more than I've lost, and I've competed with some top guys out there.
And we'll make sure to put in the show notes not to pick a fight with Ted. So
yeah,
there you go. So Ted, how do tell us a little bit how people can reach you, maybe a product that might be a good fit. I know you got a new product coming out that you're about to launch, and tell us about how we reach you and all that before we sign off here.
Yeah, best place is legendarylifepodcast.com. That's the hub for everything. If you sign up to the list, I give you a free workout so you can start following it. So if you're not currently following any workout right now, you should go and get it. And it's a free workout. It works. I've written it. So that's the best place. But if you want to hit me up on Facebook, I love to connect with people. And if you heard me here on the Strongpreneur podcast, Strongpreneur Nation, let me know. Let me know if part of the story resonated with you or not. But Ted Rice on Facebook or legendarylifepodcast.com are the two best places.
Well, that's awesome, man. Well, I really appreciate you hanging out with me today and sharing your story with our listeners. And I look forward to getting to know you more as we both, build our little empires here and make the world a stronger place, man. Thanks for hanging out.
Absolutely, Tom. My pleasure, man.
All right. We'll catch you guys next time on the Strongpreneur Podcast. Don't forget to head over to strongpreneurnation.com, take the pledge, and if this episode impacted you, please head over to iTunes and give us a rating, and do the same after you listen to Ted at Legendary Life Podcast as well. And with that, we'll see you guys next time.